Hebrews chapter 5. We'll begin reading with verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say. Obviously, the whole book is about Jesus. And it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the grown-up, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching of the Christ, let us press on to being grown-ups, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. Lord, grant our eyes to see this morning. Be gracious to us, dear Father. And in spite of the dullness of hearing that some may have had to this point, I pray that you would be gracious and open their eyes to see and ears to hear, Father. We all need your Spirit to teach us, Lord. None of us would grasp the spirit of your gospel or your law unless your Holy Spirit should be with us and instruct our minds. So we ask your gracious favor this morning of your Spirit's teaching and application. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. How many of you know what happened on this day in history 35 years ago? Here we have one guess, one guess. What do you guess?
JFK got shot.
JFK got shot. Oh, that's right. Some of you could not have known that. Some of you could have learned that. But only people like me, maybe Guy, few others could have known that, because we were alive then and we heard the news, and most people in this world old enough remember where they were and what they were doing when they heard the news. I remember. I was in Bible school. I was in a doctrine class and we got the news. We stopped and we prayed for our nation and then we dismissed class. I know what happened that day because I was alive. I didn't learn it. I know it. Something else I know. On that very day, at the very day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated, C.S. Lewis died. The very same day. It took me about a week or so to hear that news. I had come to appreciate the man and his writings, and I commend him to you, and I have an information sheet out behind here that you may take for your family. I commend him to you for your reading. He is excellent for young people to read and adults to read, depending on the document that he has written. I commend him to you. And I had begun to read his writings and begin to appreciate and learn from them. And when I learned that he had died, I believed at the time that that was the greater loss to the world than John F. Kennedy. And as high as you may think, wow, that's a powerful statement, I mean that. As much as John F. Kennedy was influential and important in this world because of his position, what C.S. Lewis had to say was more important for the world. Sometimes Pat has said to me, when she has told me something, and I respond and tell her I know that, Or she'll ask me about something and then I have the answer for it. She says, how do you know all these things? And I simply tell her, I've just lived a lot longer than you. Age has its advantages. Amen. And those who are older would be more prone to be able to say amen with an understanding of what that means. Age has its advantages because you don't have to learn those things that you go through and are aware of as you're going through life. You just don't have to learn present history if you've been at all paying attention to things around you. But it was kind of a mystery to Pat why I knew so many things. Well, it's just because I've lived long, kind of paid attention to life around me as I've gone on, and I've experienced things that she hasn't experienced yet. Concerning him, Jesus, we have much to say, the writer says. Much to say. John said if all the things that Jesus taught and did were written, they'd fill books that would fill the whole earth. No doubt there is much to say about Jesus. But the writer says it is hard to explain these much things to his readers. And there's a reason for it. Because, since you have become dull of hearing, the many things, the much that can be learned concerning Jesus, and particularly, he has just finished talking about Jesus, the high priest, made and vowed to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and all of a sudden these old names start to come in. Who's Melchizedek, and why is he mentioned, and what does it mean, and all that. And he's been talking about Jesus has entered in as the high priest, and he's going to be talking about Jesus and his blood and all of this, and there's much to be said to his readers, but the writer stops and he says, since you have become dull of hearing, it is hard to explain to you. It's hard to be a teacher to you since you are dull of hearing. And you have children that are dull of hearing sometimes. You call their name, they don't respond. You call their name, they don't respond. They call their name, they don't respond. Hopefully by now you've trained them to respond the first time. Or you give them instructions and it doesn't seem to sink in. That would be called dull of hearing. They just do not take in what they are being told and apply it. There's this callous upon their ear. And that is what the writer is saying. You've got calloused ears. Your callousness is due to something besides natural phenomenon. And so, he's saying, your dullness of hearing, you cannot be taught. It's very difficult to teach you the multitudes of things to know about Jesus, the Messiah, and his marvelous salvation. There are people who just don't get it as far as Jesus goes, although they've been taught and taught. But it's because they have dullness of hearing. For though by this time, you ought to be teachers. Though by this point in your instruction, though by this passage of time and the instruction that you've received, you ought to be a person that can convey to someone else, your wife, your children, another brother, another sister. You ought to be able to convey to another and articulate to another the things about Jesus, the things about his marvelous love, about his great compassion, his person, his deity, his ministry, his sacrifice, his atonement, his salvation. The person who is writing says, enough time has passed that in the normal course of things, you ought to be in a position and be equipped to be able to instruct another person and convey to them the things of Christ. That's the way things ought to be in your life. That's how your mind ought to be developed. He's not saying that by this time every one of you should be appointed in a church somewhere and be a teacher and all of that. He's not saying that. It would apply if that's God's calling upon their life, if that's how they should be. So he's not saying everybody is to be appointed a teacher, but he's saying everyone who has gone through this much instruction ought to be able to have absorbed it, digested it, understood it, and be able to articulate it. And the wording here is that, but that's not true of you. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, the truth is you have need again for someone to teach you. Again. Instead of being how it ought to be, your case is that you have a need again for someone to teach you. You've been taught before, and you're in need again of someone to teach you. You've learned A before. Somebody needs to come along and teach you A again. That's not appropriate. That's not normal. That's not proper, given your exposure, he is saying, to the gospel and to an understanding of the gospel. You have need again for somebody to teach you, but it's again. It's repetition. It's going over the same thing that's been gone over before. This is his portrayal of his readers. That the things that they've heard, they need to be taught them again because they did not absorb them. They did not take them. Because of their dullness of hearing, they resisted them. This is rather a sad picture of individuals, is it not? You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, the ABCs of God's revelation of himself. Now, some people, multitudes of people think that normal Christianity, lifelong Christianity and Christian relationships in the Church of God is to be a continuous being taught again and again and again and again the A and the B and the C. To many people, they think that that's the high point of Christian life and church life, is to gather together and have somebody teach them again the ABCs of the revelation of God. People are conscious that they haven't got it, so they go to church again and they look for somebody to go over it again. He says, some of you really need that. But that's to your fault. That's to your shortcoming. That description is to your blame and your shame. That you have need again for somebody to go over the ABCs that you've already been taught at some point in the past. You've already been given opportunity to take the A's and the B's and the C's and do something with them. And not only do you need to be taught these ABCs of the revelation of God, you have come to need milk. Come to need milk and not solid food. This is a new arrival. This is arrival at a new place that they were not at before. Their need for teaching is to be taught something that they have been taught before, and their need is now they have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, this milk is the first thing a baby needs. Imagine you having a child. We know that the first thing that the child does is given the opportunity to start eating his food, drinking his food. Would you not be appalled, if not just simply amazed, to have your child nurse at the milk until the appropriate time and is weaned into liquid foods and towards solid foods and is progressing along and gaining weight, and then all of a sudden something happens to that child, he stops eating whatever degree of solid foods he's eating, he forsakes any of the baby foods, and goes back to wanting and craving milk. Would you be a little bit concerned about the child's well-being? Would you think something is abnormal in this child of yours? Wouldn't you think it strange that if your child would come to you, Mom, want to climb up on your lap at the age 7 and want to nurse again? Wouldn't you think that just a little bit abnormal? That's what this writer is saying. Some of you have reverted to infancy, and you just want to suck again. Some of you have become spiritual retards, and you have need for somebody to start off with A's and B's and C's. You've gotten to the point where all you want to do is drink milk. Anybody know what these are? Aren't these wonderful? These are the elementary principles, aren't they? Baby's born. Sound. Pretty soon he starts to make the sounds and puts them together. No! Probably the first syllable a child learns. No! Don't know where he could have learned that, huh? Mom! Dada! Pretty soon more and more syllables start coming out of the baby's mouth. And some of those syllables are really words. Some of the first syllables are kind of like that, aren't they? Right? But they're elementary principles. These are elementary principles, because pretty soon the sounds, the child is taught to understand that the sounds can be seen. That you can take a sound and you can put a sign to it so that you know that how this is supposed to sound or how the sound is supposed to be communicated. And so you end up with sounds, and then you end up with syllables, and you end up with words, and you end up with maybe multiple syllable words. And then you go from words to sentences. Several words all together in a particular order and a construction called grammar. And then after you put down a sentence, you put several sentences together and you communicate a letter. And then some people work beyond that and they put several letters together and they make a magazine or a book. And people make multi-volume sets. But it's all built out of the elementary principles. Right? They're all ABCs put together in more ascending, refined, developed, mature construction. All out of the elementary principles. And the believer is a person who is given, at the beginning of his walk, elementary principles to work with. And the believer is one who enters into a relationship with the truth whereby they learn and understand some of the early syllables. And then they begin to learn the signs for those syllables and the words that represent those ideas. And then they begin to comprehend the relationship between various ideas, the relationship between Christ and His death and their salvation. And at some point, these syllables and elementary principles that are conveyed in the gospel, at some point, they convey an idea in which to believe. And so a person believes those elementary principles, those beginning elementary ideas put together by the elementary principles of truth regarding our nature, regarding God and His character, regarding relationship and obligation one to another, and what love is, And at some point, light dawns upon that person and they believe the very elementary truths of the gospel and God's character and their relationship to Him. And they find salvation. The Spirit of God comes and dwells within them, and they have a realization that they are cleansed from their dead works, and they have a realization that they're in Christ and Christ is in them. They have a realization they've been washed in this blood of the Lamb, these words, but they do know they've experienced what these words describe. And that's the beginning point of a believer's life. They have become conscious that that hatred and bitterness that they may have had toward a parent has gone. God has cleansed them of that. They may be conscious that their bondage to an appetite and a desire, such as we heard testimony to on Wednesday night, they're conscious that they've been freed of that. The chains have been broken. They're conscious that they have been set free from the bondage of lust that may have been dominant in their life. They're conscious of this point at which believing those things that were simply elementarily presented to them has resulted in what has been promised, and they're new creatures in Christ. And so they, as Peter says, they are to desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. And so new believers, if held accountable, if directed properly, if they will apply themselves to not be dull of hearing, but willing to continue on to hear with open ears all that the gospel presents, all that teachers would present to them that is true, they will start to grow by this milk. The elementary principles, as they start to grow, the elementary principles will be pieced together, and pretty soon the words will put on the depth of sentences in their understanding, and sentences into whole pages, and they will grow into and in their understanding of the life that they now have. And that is the normal path for Christians, new believers, to take, where they go on and on, faith to faith, from grace to grace, growing in the knowledge and faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's growth. But something has happened to these readers. They have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk, this is now his characterization of these people, he is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. As characteristic of babies, they drink milk. That's their food. Using the metaphor of a natural baby, he drinks milk. To an adult, we drink solid foods. To the one who has been growing, has been maturing, and now has to return back and needs milk again, it signifies that the maturity has completely reversed itself and he's back to the elementary principles. He's back to the A's and the B's and the C's. That is a retreat. That is a regression. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. The writer is addressing his readers and is now stating to them, there's so much to know about Christ, but you don't even know beyond what a babe would know or a babe can digest and take in because of your dullness of hearing. Your present state is at the lowest level of spiritual state. You have regressed back to. You have perhaps enjoyed being cleansed of your conscience. Perhaps you have been thankful that your heart has been cleansed from that bitterness and anger towards a parent or someone in relationship. Perhaps you've enjoyed that first flush of the presence of the Spirit of God and the benefits of salvation. But as time progressed, you came to an issue that God was shining light upon you, and you refused to hear God. You refused to keep your ears open, keep them clean, keep them clear, your spiritual ears, so that as God was speaking to you through His Word, through His relationship to you, through preaching, through teaching, through your providential dealings with you, you came to an issue and you simply resisted God's light. God was building in you A's and B's and C's and words and sentences and pages and books, and He wanted to write another chapter. And you said, no. Not the chapter on dying to myself. I don't want that chapter completed. No, not that chapter on forsaking the world. No, not that chapter. Not that chapter on submitting to those in authority over me. Not that chapter. Not that chapter about being faithful in small things. Lord, small things are rather important to me, and they're really just very small. So I'm, you know, these are, God, let's deal with the big things. You know, the small things. God wanted to write a chapter regarding small things. God wanted and is aiming to develop every believer so that at some point they can truly articulate to another the truth of the gospel, the truth about Jesus. It's amazing how many people want to be Christians and the first thing they think they have a right to do is be a teacher. Seems to be the first level that they think is the entry level of being a Christian is to be everybody else's teacher. Well, there is a time for that. But it's after a time of eating your milk and growing thereby and then going on to solid food and learning by practice in eating solid food to digest it, to make use of it, and by the very use of it, become mature. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice in eating it and digesting it and taking it in and applying it, have their senses, that is, their perceptions about spiritual matters, trained to deserve good and evil. These are the people that are qualified to be teachers to others. They have taken in solid food. They have applied it to themselves. It has nurtured them and built them up and strengthened them into maturity of faith and maturity of love to where now they can discern between good and evil. It's not a mystery what's good and evil anymore. And they can, in that state, be adequate teachers to others. This is not a calling to the position of being a teacher. This is where every believer who will continue to grow will arrive and go to and be. It is wonderful to observe the new convert in love and faith who presumes not that they are qualified to teach. Oh, it's marvelous to see. They are the teachable ones. And they are the growing ones. And they are the ones that go from grace to grace and faith to faith and milk to solid food. They are the ones. It's wonderful to see. And they're eager to learn. And they're willing to learn. They're willing to be taught. And before they know it, they're chewing on solid food. They're so interested in growing with the light, according to the light, that as they go from milk to solid food, they're not even conscious. Ooh, I've reached a new status. They're just taking in everything that God brings to them. And before long, they don't even realize that they're chewing on some solid food. These are people that do not just settle down in the first flush of victory over the world or victory over sin. These are not the ones who just settle down and cool off after the first excitements of an experience. But these are people who go on and on and on and on and on and keep going on, because there's more to life than just these. And not optionally, necessarily. Go home today and watch your family and watch one of your children play and get out some blocks for them and sit them down. And if they were to go up and go, oh, ooh, 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 and really was excited by that, you'd probably wonder how things are with your child and their development, wouldn't you? And you should be. And the writer is concerned equally so, as disturbed, as distressed. But those that he's writing to is saying, there is such glory about Jesus, the Messiah, his ministry, his sacrifice, his priesthood. There is so much to obtain from God through the knowledge and faith in our high priest, and his excellent entry in by his own blood and the sacrifice of his own body. There is so much to know that bolsters up the faith until one can enter in boldly into the throne of grace and obtain all the mercy that they need. And there's so much to know that takes the soul and raises it higher and higher in communion with God and faith in God and faith in his promises. But you're so dull of hearing, it's hard to explain it to you. Pastor, you should be such a teacher that you can just make sure that we learn everything just properly. No, you must not be dull of hearing in order to learn. If you're dull of hearing, if Daniel and Paul himself should be here and teach you, it wouldn't do you any good. If you're dull of hearing. How do you get dull of hearing? How do you think you get dull of hearing? Are you dull of hearing? If you are still playing with these, it's a sign you've been dull of hearing. Are dull of hearing. If you cannot yet even grasp elementary truths that we've been teaching for the last 5 years, and some of you even longer, and if still, when the question is put to you, you cannot articulate a sensible answer of an understanding of the first principles of God's law, his gospel, his government, his character, if you have to search and fall over words to try to put together some idea of an answer, you may be still here, still playing with the blocks, waiting for other people. I guarantee you, if you're not in faith this morning, you're right here at the blocks, trying to put them in such an arrangement to find your way out of the darkness that you find yourself in. And you're conscious of the fact that you know a great deal, because you've sat in service after service after service and absorbed the words. You've absorbed the phrases. You've absorbed the sentences. You've absorbed the passages. You can quote scripture, but you don't grasp the truths. The difference. You can repeat back, or you can quote scriptures as your evidence of something, but you can't enter into a discussion conceptually and grasp the ideas. That's not to be normal, folks. Not after so long a time. Babes in Christ need not be burdened with the idea that you should be teachers now. Yet it is babes in Christ who are growing who often feel the strongest piercing of the soul and thinking, oh, I'm too far behind. I should be ahead. It is those who are most sensitive to God, that God is teaching them, that are most aware and take most to heart any idea that they are not where God would have them to be. But it is those with dullness of hearing that it is hard to explain to them some things about the Messiah, some things about Jesus. And they're still back sucking on milk. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 6. Therefore, in light of what I've just said, and in light of the fact of those who are still and have reverted back to babes, therefore, since this should not be the case with you after such a period of time, therefore, since there are many wonderful things to know about the Messiah and your relationship to Him and His relationship to the world and the glories of His gospel, that there is such a fullness to receive from Him, but it must be known by knowing of Him. Therefore, since this glorious Jesus, the high priest, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, etc., 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 therefore, since this is all available but not usable to you because of your dullness of hearing, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, the Messiah, let us press on to maturity. King James translates it perfection. I like that word. It means completeness. It's fullness. Let's press on until we have everything that God intended us for us to have. Let's press on until we're mature. Let's press on until we can eat the solidest food that God has for us in this world. Let's press on until our systems are able to digest the most profundity of God's revelation. Let us press on until we are qualified to teach somebody else and articulate to somebody else the real reasons to trust in Jesus, the real reasons to have faith in God, and articulate them with more than just a block here and a block there, but to be able to take all these blocks and weave them in such a way that they express with clarity the truths of God. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Messiah, let us press on to maturity. Now, that suggests that we ought to leave something. And maybe you are here this morning and maybe you ought to leave. You ought to leave the elementary principles. You ought to leave the ABCs that you've reverted back to. And you need to start pressing forward. What does that mean? It means all the things that I've learned, I'm supposed to leave them and start learning something new? No. When you end up writing a profound work, you haven't left the ABCs. But you've left the level of just working with blocks with letters on them. But you haven't abandoned the use of the letters. You've pressed on until you become a real, what they would call a wordsmith, where you can take words like C.S. Lewis does, one of the best in the world. He takes words and he constructs them in such a way that an idea seems to just creep up in the mind without him saying it directly. He didn't leave the ABCs. He came to master them and use them. He didn't stay just with A and B and C. Like an architect who builds a foundation. He's got this great building he's going to build. He's out there and he's overseeing the laying of the foundation, and they pour the concrete and they level it all out and get it at the right angle and the right width and etc. How absurd for that architect to hang around there for the next 10 years admiring his foundation. It's just a foundation, a floor. Where's the walls? Look at this foundation. Isn't this great? Look how wide it is. Look how deep that. Look at the slope. Isn't that just perfect slope? Hadn't been a crack in 10 years. Come on, architect. We need to leave the foundation and build on it. Let's get the building up. Not going to go someplace else and build. We're going to build on the foundation. But we're going to leave our time and attention on just the foundation. We're going to get on with the whole project. It's time to leave, architect, and get on with the rest of it. It's time to leave, people, and get on with the whole project, to press on. That's what the writer is saying. Therefore, you've got to leave that level of thinking, relating, perception, knowledge, receiving. Time to leave. Not as in leave the place, but leave the level. We don't leave the Word of God. It's time to leave the elementary concepts in the Word of God and by removing our dullness of hearing, grow up into the greater marvelous truths that await every believer to come to discover. Once in a while, you may pick up a book, read it of somebody who describes such marvelous things of their knowledge and understanding and relationship to God. You read this and, man, this guy really knows God. Well, you know why? He left the elementary principles a long time ago. And he's been building. He's been pressing on to maturity. He went from milk to solid food and then gourmet food, and then gourmet food into the delicacies. And he's approaching the desserts. You know? And all of a sudden he writes a book about these delicacies and the desserts. And go, ooh, man, what a special guy. No, he's been through it from the bottom up. Now he's writing about these delicacies, these glories of Christ. And you pick it up and what you read about is the glories of Christ. You go, wow, what a beautiful picture. Of course, when you put it down and you walk away from it, what you have is an appreciation of what he knows. But you don't grasp it. You don't have it. You don't enter into it because it is not something that you've matured into. So you might read a book of a marvelous woman or a marvelous man of God and appreciate some of their statements, and they stimulate you to think, and it's good for you to be stimulated to think, and this is one of the ways we press on to maturity. But you really do not possess what they possess. You can appreciate what it does to your understanding, but you don't possess it because you haven't pressed on to that maturity yet. But it can show you that there are heights of maturity yet for you to go. And it is not that people are special and therefore they have special revelations or special understanding, and that's reserved for the special. That's just reserved for the mature. And everyone is to press on to maturity. And I do not say everyone can. I say everyone is to press on to maturity. It is our solemn duty. For to remain still is to go back. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Now, here are the elementary teachings. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. That's foundational. Repenting from works that brought death under the law. And not laying again a foundation of faith towards God. That's elementary. That's foundational. That's entry level. Faith towards God. And not laying again a foundation of instructions about washings, that is, baptism. Particularly portrayed under the law of the different washings, so we understand that holiness is a part of the Christian life. Not laying a foundation again of laying on of hands, pictured very clearly under the Mosaic ceremonial law, laying out of hands upon animals and then offering them up sacrifices. And in the New Testament, having to do with laying out of hands, when people were, they laid hands upon people, they received the Holy Spirit as under the ministry of Peter. And not laying again a foundation of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. These are foundational. These are entry level. Entry level gospel is faith towards God, repentance from dead works, that there is washings and that there is laying out of hands, that there's administration, that there's ordinances in the church, and that there's coming a day that there'll be a resurrection of the dead and everyone will stand in judgment and the sentence will be passed and you'll be sentenced either to, according to justice or according to grace. The sentence will be made known. The sentence for every person's life. These are foundational. To grasp the idea that these are the sum totality and the heights of spiritual knowledge, to when you have understood some of these things, that you're arrived at maturity, this writer says, that's the foundation. This is where you start. This is where you put these together and you come to an idea, the true idea of about faith and repentance and judgment to come and the resurrection of the dead and the ordinances of the church, such as baptism and laying on of hands or the receiving of the Spirit, as possibly that portrays. That's foundational. It's time to leave that foundation. It's time to stop just looking at those things and thinking that boy, this is the height of knowledge and the height of maturity because I know something about those things. It's time to leave those elementary principles. Time to press on. Time to go up. It's at that level where people are babes. That isn't meat. That isn't solid food. That's milk stuff. To understand faith towards God and repentance from dead works, that's milk stuff. And he's saying, there is such a height of truth about the Messiah. Length of revelation to be known about the love of God. There's such a depth, height, length, breadth of the love of God to be known beyond this foundation. There are advancements in trust in God when trials come that are above this foundation. And in those trials, you need more than milk. You need solid food to get through those trials. The word teaching in this verse, therefore leaving the elementary teaching, is the same word as doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. Scriptures, the apostles are not against doctrine. The scriptures are not anti-doctrinal. There is to be the elementary teaching, the elementary doctrine, the first teachings, the first doctrines about first things, faith and repentance. Paul says to Timothy, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Doctrine, teaching, is that which gives us the basis for believing God, being nurtured, continuing to grow. God is not opposed to doctrine. He's opposed to false doctrine. Paul says to Timothy also, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching or to your doctrine. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Timothy, pastor, pay very close attention to your teaching, your doctrine. Because as you do, you ensure salvation for yourself and for those who hear you. So we are not to leave doctrine. We are to leave the level upon which doctrine is taught and not just continue on the A's and the B's and the play blocks. And this we will do if God permits. If God is gracious enough to extend mercy and grace to us that we may press on to maturity, we will do this. And in verse 4 through 6, passage that some people make very difficult, starts off with, For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of age to come and then have fallen away, etc., etc. Those verses start off with 4. And here's his warning. If you have need again to be taught what you once knew, you've reverted back to being babies, and you have need again of milk instead of solid food. If you do not press on and leave that elementary level of where you are and clear up your hearing and give heed to the Word of God, if you do not, here's the warning. For in the case of those who have been once enlightened, etc., etc., if they fall away, you cannot renew them. He is saying to remain here is to go back here. To remain in place is to retreat. To remain stagnant is to go backwards. If you're not continuing to eat solid food, if you're not continuing to advance and press on to maturity, you will revert back to babyhood. That's what he said in verses 11 through 13. And now he is giving a warning, for he starts off with 4. We must leave the elementary teachings about the Christ and press on to maturity. 4. In the case of those who have once been enlightened, etc., etc., and fallen away, you cannot renew them. It's a warning. It's a dire warning. You must press on to maturity and leave this baby state. 4. There's great consequences if you fall back to babyhood. What's the application for you this morning? Are you dull of hearing? Maybe when the word comes to you, you really get excited about it. But it's not very long until the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Maybe you do hear the truth and receive it for a while with excitement. But like Jesus taught, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke that word. Makes it so that the word has no effect, as if you just didn't really hear it. Maybe there's so much noise in your head. You're so preoccupied with gratifying your desires, of pursuing the things of this world, that you cannot hear the Word of God, the voice of God to you, and keep your ear tuned to what it takes to get what you're after. And so your ear is dull because you've got it poised at another place. And what we read at the beginning of service this morning, from 2 Peter, Second Peter talks just like Hebrews is talking. The first chapter of Second Peter, verse 5. For this very reason, also applying all diligence, press on. In your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, supply knowledge. In your knowledge, supply self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. Your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. In your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, Not if these qualities of yours and you sit down upon them and enjoy them, but are increasing. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, then they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are not increasing in these things, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Church, if you are not increasing with all diligence to maturity and increase of faith and perseverance and godliness and love, if you are not increasing but lack those things, you are blind and short-sighted. In fact, you'll even forget the time in which you were purified from your former sins. You'll even become skeptical, maybe even unbelieving that it's possible to live without sinning against God, because you have not increased in these qualities. You just remain stagnant. And if you remain stagnant and do not increase in these things, you're blind, you're short-sighted, you'll even become forgetful that you once were purified from your former sins. You'll even forget that there was a time when you had been purified from your sins. And you no longer stand up for and contend for and uphold the truth that through faith in Jesus, one can be purified from all things. You'll even forget that if these things are not increasing. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. As long as you are increasing, maturing, pressing on, adding to faith, knowledge, and knowledge, virtue, etc., etc., you will not stumble. If you do not increase with all diligence in these things, you will stumble. You will be blind. You'll be short-sighted. You'll even become spiritually an Alzheimer's person. You just won't remember the life that you once had in Christ. These passages clearly instruct us, folks, that you cannot start off in the elementary principles with Christ. Learn about faith and repentance. Learn about resurrection and judgment. And stay there. That's just foundation. There is a city to build whose builder and maker is God. There's a temple of the Holy Ghost that you are to be fitted into and maturing in. There are attributes and qualities in you that you are to be adding to your character and your life with all diligence. You are to not be still sucking on milk years after you entered into the foundation. You're to be eating solid food and being pressing on to maturity. Some of you should be already there eating solid food. And not just sucking on milk once or twice a week. How is it with you this morning? You need to leave? I mean, you need to leave the elementary principles, the ABCs, and get on with the rest of the alphabet, get on with the rest of the sentence, get on with the rest of the page. Press on to maturity. For the warning in the passages is, you cannot remain where you are. You must advance, or you will fall back and then fall away. The reason that you do not advance in your knowledge of the Messiah, you are not grown up and able to stand in your faith, is because you can't be instructed very well. It's hard to instruct you because you're dull of hearing. That's what the apostle's saying. You've just got blocks in your ears and you just refuse to listen to certain individuals because you have a grudge against them or there's something between you and them. You would rather turn on the TV than pick up your Bible. You're dull of hearing. Sound of the world, the sound of your flesh is so loud as you give yourself to listen to it that you're dull of hearing. The sound of money, your fear over financial matters is so loud you're dull of hearing. You listen to that so often. The dread of being lonely is so loud that you're dull of hearing the Word of God. Your fear of being rejected is so loud to your ears and your heart that you're dull of hearing the Word of God. Do not throw the blame upon those who would try to teach you and say, you know, when you're able to teach me so that I can see, I'm sure that I'll follow the Lord. No, it's hard to teach some of you, for you're dull of hearing. I am not a good teacher. I do not claim to be a whiz at teaching. That's not. You can find much fault in my manner, in my style, my methods. Sure, we could sit down and have quite an afternoon going over that, and there's a lot of things to point out my shortcomings in that regard. I would pray that that would be the only reason that you've not matured. I would pray that we could stand before God someday and you could look me in the face and say, Dennis, my maturity failed because you're incapable of being a good and adequate teacher, of coming up with illustrations, of demonstrations, of etc. I would to God that that would be the truth, for then you would be free and not held accountable. And then my deeds would be burned up with hay, wood, and stubble, and that would be fine. But if it's your dullness of hearing, then I don't think you can look me in the eye and make that plea. So, I must do all I can to take heed to my teaching. But you must do all you can to me not be dull of hearing. We are all obligated to press on and with all diligence add to our lives and our character these things, lest we become blind and short-sighted, and even forget our former purification from our sins. Let's pray together.